Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I'm glad that you're able to join me for the broadcast today. With the Lord's help, we're going to conclude the message I've been sharing on the barren fig tree, a parable that Jesus spoke while he was on this earth, and it's recorded in Luke, the 13th chapter. I believe it's verses 6 through 9. And we want to see what's the final status of this barren fig tree. We understand that the owner of the orchard, the vineyard, was not happy at all. He said, cut it down. Why does it cumber the ground? And now, and this is, of course, the Lord speaking of the Father, his right in expecting fruit, there was none. And he is saying, after all the privileges, after all the long-suffering grace, because, of course, the fig tree is a symbol, if you will, of the believer, as well as Israel, he extended so much grace and long-suffering, and he was wearied and says, cut it down. Why does it cumber the ground? Now we see where the Lord Jesus Christ steps in. He is the vine dresser, if you will, or the orchard keeper, if you will. And what does he do? And he, of course, we know presently he is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on High, ever living to make intercession for you and for me. And so what does he do? So characteristic of our loving Savior, he pleads for more grace. And in verse 8, he says, this year also, and he asks for more time. He wants to see. He doesn't want to see this tree cut down. He doesn't want to see the tree lost. And isn't that true in each one of our lives? He's wanting not only to see God's best in our lives, but those that get off the path, he's constantly seeking, just like the prodigal son, ever wanting to call that prodigal child back as the father stands waiting, looking. So he's looking for all those who've wandered off and gone astray, those that have backslid, those that have been allowed the enemy to wound them. They've been hurt by people or church or whatever, and they're out doing their own thing. Well, beloved, anyone whose hand is who the hand of the Lord is on, they're absolutely miserable. There's no one worse than someone who's walked with God and turned away. They're just, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit is ever present. And so, beloved, we see that Jesus pleads for more grace. He says, this year also. He wants to see it dug up. He wants to see it fertilized. And he wants that the tree will bear fruit. He makes continual intercession for us, beloved. He who's been doing all the labor, all the watching, without receiving any credit or honor through it, he nonetheless advocates the cause of the barren fig tree and pleads in its name. How precious this is. In John, the 17th chapter, verse 15, Jesus said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. And this, of course, is where we are. We're in the world. We're not of it. But the world is our place of fruit bearing. And that some Christians are still barren, living only for self, it just illustrates, you know, the carnal Christians, illustrates the long suffering and mercy of our God. How much is owing to the priestly work of Jesus, our high priest, this year also. Beloved, this contains a stern warning. If you're not walking with God in the way you know you should be, if you know that you've backslid and you've not been serving the Lord with a whole heart and loving Him, you don't know how long you have. This year also, this could be your last year. Even though you're young in years, death comes not just to the aged and elderly. It can come very unexpectedly to children, to young people. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. We don't know how long we have. And beloved, if you're not where you should be, I beg you in the name of the Lord to get restored to fellowship with God. Repent of your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so he promises more work. In verse 8, he says, I shall dig about it and dung it and basically fertilize it. And the Lord is just, he's not willing to give up. Isaiah 42 and 4 says, referring to Jesus, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. Jesus will be victorious. He is going to have a people. He's going to have a bride without spot, stain, or wrinkle. And beloved, this speaks of grace more abundantly. If fruit is found at all, it is the result of grace alone. However, other trees must not be impoverished, so the dresser, our Lord Jesus Christ, gives greater personal attention to the tree, fertilizing, extra digging. Have you felt perhaps any extra digging around your roots? Sometimes the unfruitful Christian is perplexed and amazed at the unusual digging about the roots of his being, which look very much like removal at the time. Sometimes you think, I'm going to be plucked up. I'm not going to stand. But it's our heavenly husbandman giving us his love and care so that we may bring forth much fruit. And we need, beloved, to let our roots go down deep into the soil of God's word. Remember, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word of the mouth of God. And of course, when times of great trial and affliction come to us, they're hard to go through, but they could be solemn warnings. You know, I heard an amazing testimony of a young man mightily used of God in ministry today. And he just wanted to put the Lord off, you know, well, when I get, you know, 21, then I'll serve you. And he was nearly killed. In fact, a train hit his car. He should have been totally killed. And he had not a scratch on him, but the car was demolished. So we never know. It's only God's grace. The shaking of the roots indicate the presence of the gardener. He's there to prune everything that doesn't bear fruit. He's going to prune those unprofitable areas of your life that you can be fruitful for him. And after the digging comes the additional supply of grace and help, the fertilizer, to cause us to bear fruit. And as God has allowed the intercession and ministry of Jesus to continue with great, great long suffering, what do we see? In verse 9, he then agrees that the results shall be final. After that, after this unmeasured pouring out of love and mercy and long suffering, after that, thou shalt cut it down. Beloved, that's a very solemn warning. This would be a point in time known only to themselves, the owner of the vineyard, our Heavenly Father, and the dresser, the Lord Jesus Christ. That last effort of grace that is expended toward that tree may be a season of affliction, a searching sermon, or some providential incident. Beloved, now is the day of salvation. Don't turn away from the wooing and calling of the Holy Spirit. Remember what it says in Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 8. Some fell on good ground. This was the parable of the sower and the seed. And some fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Beloved, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. God is giving you an opportunity right now, beloved. Forget the failures of the past and move on to a new day and a new future that God has for you. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 says, For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The fruit of the fig tree is figs, isn't that right? If it's a fig tree, if it's an orange, it's oranges. The fruit of a Christian is Christ. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. We should have the characteristics of his Spirit in us. And every man's work shall be made manifest. 1 Corinthians 3:13 and 15 says, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Beloved, this has been a sobering message that I brought to you, and I think it causes us all, as we hear the word of the Lord, to search our own lives and to ask the Lord, Lord, am I pleasing in your sight? Am I bearing fruit for you? Now, beloved, it's not by might nor by power, not our mental determination, not by our physical strength, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. And as I share over and over again, we just need to be willing. You might be stumbling over besetting sin. There may be habits in your life that you don't seem to get the victory over. That's why I offer continually. I don't spend much time, but I invite the listening audience to write and share their prayer needs, because there's power in agreeing prayer. It's a divine principle. Otherwise, Jesus would not have mentioned it in Matthew 18. You know, we need to bind together. We need to agree together to see the works of darkness broken in our lives. But Jesus has promised victory if we'll humble ourselves before him. He will exalt us in due time. And so in the closing moments of this broadcast, if you are, and you know you're not where you should be in God, let's use this opportunity to repent and come back to him. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I speak to those who perhaps do not know you. And Lord, as they open their hearts now to you and confess you as Savior and Lord of their lives, I ask you to come in, make them a new creature, cause their spirit to be born again, and let them live the remainder of their lives for you. And those that have confessed you, Lord, if they're not walking where they should be, if sin, known sin, has been a part of their lives and they've been miserable and they feel helpless and hopeless, Lord, restore hope. Even now, as they turn from their sin and their evil ways, Lord, you said you would hear from heaven. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that you will give them the strength to turn away from sin and to walk in holiness and righteousness before you. In the name of Jesus, Father, I praise you and thank you for it. Amen and amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer with me, I do invite you to write. I can send some things that would be a blessing, encouragement to your heart. And I thank all of you for listening, my radio, spiritual radio family, and we'll just keep me in prayer, the broadcast, the needs of the Lord's work, and just pray that as we meet together the next time, it'll be whatever the Lord has for us. God bless you, and may the Lord's richest blessings forever be yours.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh,